Hello, each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in to Broker's Playbook with us today. It is myself, Laura Martin, co-host of Broker's Playbook, along with Simeon Papalias. And we today have a huge treat for you. Giselle Ugardi, she is the absolute queen of social video content and coaching people for specifically showing up online and being in video and really showing up for your fans, your followers, and getting used to it. Because video is here to stay. Isn't that right, Giselle?
It is not going anywhere. And how wonderful it is, though, that nowadays, when I started making videos, this was over a decade ago. I wanted to be on broadcast television. I wanted to be on network television. And I was. I had a great career in TV. However, I had to wait for casting opportunities. I had to wait to be able to use the fancy equipment and rent out the studio. And now, every single person, if you are listening to this, if you're watching this, chances are you're probably listening and watching from your phone. And what's attached to your phone is a camera. So you have no excuse not to be using that camera and on a daily basis to connect with your people. And if you hate the way you sound, if you hate the way you look, good. We can't change that. But how awesome that you don't have to wait for anyone to be able to practice on that device that you have.
Okay, first of all, I need
What
to
a
say,
welcome. What a welcome. What a
let me,
powerful
okay,
tidbit
you're the
right off
best.
the bat.
You're the best for coming out of the gates,
Yeah,
but I
grab a
must
pen,
say.
grab a piece of paper. I'm gonna take you to social video church today. I'm gonna give you so many practical and tactical tips. Like, you didn't know what you were getting in for. I'm gonna knock your fucking socks off. Just wait.
Killing me.
Giselle, thank you so much for coming on the show. We have heard a lot about your presence, and I've definitely seen you on a couple of podcasts, especially with people that are directly related both to my organization or my network. So we're humbled to have you. We're thankful to have you, and we trust that you're going to guide both ourselves, where I feel there's absolutely so much that I can learn from an online performance coach, and I'm always interested in hearing more. But I know as a fact that I get this question from the broker community. I will tell you at least a dozen times, maybe two dozen times a week, as to where do you find the time, Simeon, to produce the content? And the answer is quite simple. I'm going to use this very podcast to create at least two dozen pieces of content. And that's where people don't understand efficiency and systems and all the things. And you do not need cameras, you do not need all the things to get started. But I think if Giselle, you could shed light on how little one needs to get started, how little, and for those listening to audio only, I'm showing off my brand new iPhone. But all you need is your actual pocket rocket. These things are $2,200 at this point. This is more than a laptop. And
Figured.
it's uber powerful. Giselle, I want you to take us through maybe how does one get their head wrapped around it? Forget I hate the way I look. I have an iPhone. For those who have decided to get started, because I don't want to focus on the naysayers anymore, but let's say I want to move forward. I'm a new agent. What is the value proposition that I can directly put out?
Well, you asked a lot of questions there without even realizing. So the first thing that I want to address is you mentioned that you get this question, a dozen times a day, a week. If you get a question more than twice from a client, from someone on your team, from a peer, then that means that you either need to create content internally or externally and on a regular basis, and or at the very least, a keyboard shortcut. We get really caught up into thinking that all of our content has to be original, unbreakable, something like you've never seen before. And it doesn't. I'm actually pretty much the anti-trend coach. I'm all about evergreen. What does evergreen means? It means that no matter what day of the year you upload that video, you upload that post, it makes sense because you are constantly getting the same questions over and again, but you're also meeting people at different seasons. So if you get a question more than twice, that means you got to create content. When it comes to that actual question, though, about where do you find the time? You have to find or make the time. And something that I talked about very recently on the Fitigoo podcast was anytime that someone tells me that they don't have the time, I always flip it back and say you don't have the time or you don't know how to manage your time. Because as an online performance coach, the key word there is performance. And if I was to look at how you're spending your time every single day, the average person spends 2 hours a day on social media, 2 hours a day. And that's not just sitting down for 2 hours. That is every single time that you have a free moment, having the habit of opening up that empty refrigerator door of checking your emails, of checking Facebook, of checking Instagram. And it feels like it's a couple of minutes, but then it turns into 15 or it turns into 30, or you're distracting your time at the carpool pickup line or whatever it is. And if you're spending 2 hours a day on social media, even if you're spending 30 minutes a day on social media and you trick yourself into saying that's research, okay, the highest performers in the world, they're doing more creating than consuming. But if you're spending 30 minutes, 2 hours a day, that's a part-time fucking job that you are wasting time. So something that I always challenge people to is to do a time audit and on a regular basis. And I have a whole worksheet actually on my website, if you go to GiselleEguardi.com, of my exact time audit formula, where I actually will track what am I doing every 15 minutes, every 20 minutes.
Let this be the first drop for you, because Broker's Playbook is not one, like, we're all salespeople, but we're here to create value. But you also are an actual professional coach.
Yes.
So let's be very crystal clear. If anyone listening, if anybody watching wants to participate or wants to check out what Giselle makes a living off and how she helps, you need to hit her website.
Yeah.
Giselle, where does one find your products and your services?
At GiselleEguardi.com. And I have tons of free content on Instagram. You know, that is where I put so much value. But here's where, again, like, I just, you know, as a performance coach, I'm not just going to say, oh, upload this many times a day. Oh, get on this platform. I can do that. But it goes so much deeper than that too. And so again, just pay attention. Where is your time actually going? Is it going to your family? Is it going to your work? Is it going to your kids? Is it going to bookkeeping and mindless tasks? You know, how can you better spend your time? And then from there, how can you carve out the time? And where you can get started, start keeping a notepad, like in your app, in the notepad. Anytime that you get a question more than twice, write it down. Anytime that you have a content idea, write it down. Or just use that moment of when you have that content idea, pull out your phone and film it. Whether it is on Instagram or TikTok, or maybe you're going live. You just finished a really important meeting with all of your team and you gave all of your agents great advice. Great. Share that advice with the world. Show us your expertise and level yourself up as a thought leader by then filming it and practicing getting more comfortable. One thing that is a differentiator for me is the world of TikTok. And a lot of people roll their eyes and expect for me to say, I want you to dance. I want you to keep up with the kids. And it's not that. Mm-mm. If anything, if you only think I'm talking about TikTok, you're missing out. With TikTok, it's putting a sledgehammer on the world of social media and video production and content creation. Why? Because during the pandemic, people got tired of the bullshit and seeing the perfection and the rainbows and the highlight reel that is not real. It's just a fragment of time. And what TikTok did to us is it forced us to get really comfortable exactly as we are. And rather than thinking about video as being this masterful drone production, think of it like a FaceTime call. Think of it like a Zoom call. Think about it like a conversation that the three of us are having right now, where you're just simply having a conversation. It is not a one-way street. What I love about video is, for example, right now, if you're watching this video, there might be 2,000 people watching. There might be 20 people watching. But if we were in a physical room, I would have to fight to make eye contact with every single one of you. And after I'm done speaking, we would be done. How wonderful it is that I'm taking an hour out of my day on this, what is it, Tuesday, Wednesday? I forget what day it is these days. But whoever watches this video, we're making direct eye contact. And we're doing this at scale. This video will continue to live on. This podcast will live on for as long as it exists as an upload. Mm-hmm. And so if you are wondering how you can make more of your time more efficient, you film a video once, you answer a question until the end of time for as long as it is there. Someone asks you a question, you don't even have to answer it. Just send them the link and there you are. There's your face. There's your personality. There's your smile. They're not looking for you to be an encyclopedia. They're looking for you to be the expert and the opinion, the perspective. And that, if that doesn't convince you, then my job here is done.
Giselle, I wanted to share something with you. So Simeon and I, we met through LinkedIn. And about 5 years ago, after sort of wrapping up my degree in psychology and cognitive science, I reapproached the world of real estate and finance. And I said, I can absolutely dominate this industry. If I go on LinkedIn, I get max out my network like a robot. I was just adding people that were in the industry in my area, like, you know, within Canada. And then I started producing video content. And when I look at the first few, it's like embarrassing. It's cringeworthy to me. It looks so crude. You know, I'm fidgety. And, you know, it's still raw and uncut. I never really cut my videos. Like, I just one shot kill. Like, it is how it is. And, you know, even like we're such harsh critics of ourselves, but everyone else that's consuming it is just in awe that we had the gumption to do it, you know, and they aren't seeing us in such a critical way. But what I did want to share is, like, I'll share a video on Instagram and I'll share a video on LinkedIn. And at this point, I'll get like 100,000 views on LinkedIn for the same video that I'll get like 1,000 on Instagram. And sometimes I'll make the videos in TikTok and then post them to LinkedIn because of the different things you're able to do with that app. But what I really wanted to say was that the most emotionally charged videos I did, the ones that scared me the most to share, the ones where my voice might have even cracked, those were the ones that were viral. That it's like even more important. So my question is, you know, is it better to do it off the cusp, create an outline? You know, do you have to have a strategy for, oh, I only talk about these certain things, or is it okay to talk about everything in life?
I'm cool with you talking about everything in life, but here's the beautiful thing that you said, Laura, is you said when you looked at your first few videos, they are cringeworthy. But imagine if you would have waited to put those first videos out today. They would still be cringeworthy, but it would be 6, 8 months, 12 months later, and then that would be your step one. Mm-hmm. Your first few videos are going to suck. You are going to tear yourself apart. Yep. Even if I say, no, you look great, you're going to be like, no, Giselle, I'm fucking horrible. Mm-hmm. You can look at my hair here. I'm sweating. I said, like all of the things that nobody cares about, you're going to rip yourself apart. Yeah. But every single time you're going to get a little bit better and you're going to give yourself a little bit more grace. But here's the other thing. For as long as you're tearing yourself apart, for as long as your thought is on you, your videos are going to suck. Mm. When you think about how you can serve, when you think about who's on the other side of that camera, when you think of what you're doing as a conversation, that is when the magic happens. So you asked, well, you know, are you supposed to talk about whatever? Should you have an outline? Well, here's the thing. If you're truly an expert of what you do, you don't need a script to speak your truth. And in fact, a lot of people who use teleprompters because they are afraid of saying the wrong thing or rambling for too long. Well, how do you do it when your client calls you or takes you to lunch and asks you a question? Right. You're That's not brilliant. Saying, oh, let me grab my script over here and tell you. You know, every now and then you don't have the answer to a question and you look it up and you go, you know what? I don't know that. Let me text my colleague really quick. That's normal. But when you're getting too caught up on the word, then that's when you've seen the videos where you go, who are you talking to? You've seen the videos where you feel like you're being talked at versus talked to. You've seen the videos where that person's soul leaves their body and you're like, I don't know what you're doing. So instead, what I want you to think about is, what does this video say about me? What is this video saying about my audience? And how is it actually bringing value? Now, right. Value can come in the form of a lesson. Value can come in the form of a laugh. But how is it creating some sort of inclusivity or community or conversation, answering some type of a question that paints the picture of the portfolio that is you? And mind you, I didn't say the portfolio of properties that you had. I said the portfolio that is you. when you're thinking about the conversations that you're having at meetings with your client, are you strictly talking about numbers, or are you bringing up the fact that you didn't sleep at all last night because you had your kid who was coming into the bedroom every 2 seconds? Are you saying, you know, I have to run actually because we're picking up my dog at the vet. Oh, it's my daughter's dance recital tonight. Oh, my husband and I are going skydiving in Tahiti this weekend. That would be really cool. I'm not, and nor have I ever done that. But you're talking about other things beyond just numbers and transactions. And that's ultimately why somebody is choosing you, because they feel like you understand them and you can meet them where they're at. So it's important to share other things, but when it's not about I, when it's about sharing an experience and sharing who you are.
So I think to that, Giselle, it's very important to point something out. I learned a long time ago when creating content by myself, meaning me, on the video, it can become difficult if you're overthinking the intent. If you are yourself, which is what you were talking about earlier, as long as you are looking to create value, no matter the topic in life, so whether I'm speaking about how to raise my kids, whether I'm speaking to how to treat an animal better, how to take out a stain out of the carpet, how to be better at sales, how to sell a hotel, how to assemble land. It doesn't matter what the topic is. It can be anything. If your audience resonates with your content, which is why they would follow you in the first place. So you either have friends, family, or a professional audience that are there because of your value prop. Your siblings and your cousins need to follow you because your cousins and your family and your siblings, your friends, and then the people who chose to follow are the only people who see you. Typically, of course, mm-hmm. as your profile grows and you get picked up by the algorithms and everything else, you get more non-followers through Explore and through all the different platforms, different settings.
Well, but in my view, I just want to chime in there really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And mind you, you should be considerate, though, of those non-followers, particularly in real estate. And here's why.
Absolutely.
It's not a matter of your content being picked up by the non-algorithm, but it is about, you know, these days, someone's not just sharing your phone number and then they're picking up the phone and calling you. They're typically sharing a link to your profile or a link to a piece of your content. And in some cases, they might potentially be searching, you know, Toronto real estate agent or Toronto real estate broker. And there are people who are actively creeping on your profile who are trying not to engage. So how can we get you to show up as the most candid, raw, honest, fun, vibrant, smart person that you are if, in the same way, I just popped into your office the way that people used to do?
Yes. So with that being said, you don't have to overthink and be so creative. You said,
say it again.
If somebody asks you a question twice, there it is.
That's
As a matter
it.
Of fact, like we literally, if you were to go to any of my content, the most popular thing is I just got off the phone with the client and I feel it's very important I share this question.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
And I go into the question and I answer the question. And up goes the reel, and up goes the vid, up goes the IGTV if it's too long. But at the end of the day, there is the only thing around me right now, because I am in a real estate office, there is a couple dozen brokers around me on the phone with their clients answering questions. There is no way that every single one of them can't take 3 minutes, 5 minutes tops, to create a short little post and put that daily content out that creates the thought leadership component. It creates the confidence component because you are more confident than others mm-hmm. who are not posting mm-hmm. and sharing their insight, and leaders in the business.
And there's this misconception that you have to only share the most complicated of questions. Mm. But in actuality, sometimes your biggest mistake is that you're forgetting to answer the simple ones that you actually get the most. For example, what exactly is it that you do? Because you as a real estate broker could have a very different day to day than somebody else who's a real estate broker, especially somebody else who's in a different state. We take that very much for granted. Or I think about so many of the agents that I work with here in the US. Okay, so you're a real estate agent. What does that mean? Residential, commercial, investment, multifamily, Airbnb. Do you specialize in a certain neighborhood? Do you specialize in, say, upsizing or right sizing empty nesters?
Demographic of client?
All of
that. Type of client?
You forget. Like, you forget. And even just, you know, what's it like to work with you? I hate the word process. I always challenge my clients. They say, I make the process as easy as possible. What the fuck is the process? You know, I don't know what it's like to buy a, I know what it's like to buy a house in my city, but you know, at this point I'm looking at investment properties in other states, you know, Minnesota and is not an attorney state.
Because the average person, Giselle, buys what, 1, 2, 3 homes in their lifetime.
Right.
So to even be that assessed is wrong.
So, yeah,
you got to drill down, and this is brilliant. Drill down to what you do and what you do for your demographic, for your audience. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And also, like, what is that? You know, I have one client who, for example, most of her clients she's never met face to face because she's all about investment. You, Laura, that's you.
That's me.
Who's never met them face to face, and in some cases, closing day happens and they're not even there because she specializes in vacation rentals that she then teaches them how to run their Airbnbs, and she takes care of everything: lawn care, housekeeping, management, booking, account setup, all of that, which is very different from someone who they're holding their client's hand, literally going from house to house to house to house to house, looking for the right property for their kids, answering questions all about school districts and playgrounds and parks and activities. Like, that's so different. And how wonderful is that, that they're different? We think that by starting to name specifics, I'm not saying you have to totally niche down, but by at least naming specifics, that we are somehow turning down other business. And yeah, you are turning down business so that you can focus your time and energy in the business that you actually enjoy doing versus selling your soul to the nickel and diming clients who do not respect your time or your energy. So
yeah, I think I love the sort of theory of radical authenticity and creating your raving fan base. By being pointed, by being cheeky, by, you know, saying things that may be inflammatory to some people because you're not taking the middle ground on absolutely everything. So you have to.
So I think that's a huge point that you specifically, Laura, have, and I'm not going to say a technique used. I think that's a life choice to take a stand on things that are important to you. It takes courage. And when you do that, I don't care if it creates a little controversy or a lot or none for that matter, but take your stand and speak your truth. I think you're always going to come out far better, stronger, and fulfilled than if you don't. So if you're not taking a position only to not offend someone that can hurt your image, I think it's a mistake because you are not that, at that point, you're no longer you. Because if something's burning inside, spit it out.
Yeah.
So that's what it's for.
Yeah.
I wanted to change the trajectory just a little bit. Giselle, you live and breathe socials. Can you tell me, is there a platform that's hotter than another? Is it simply based as to where your tribe lives that you focus on? Should we be focused? So I personally have a TikTok account that has only been logged into by my daughter, and I had no idea because I downloaded it, I set it up, and I never touched it. And there was a bunch of selfies of my daughter from 2 years old to 5 years old before I pinched her. So I don't have a TikTok presence. Is TikTok something that I should be looking into and investing my ultra valuable time into? Should I stick to IG, Facebook, LinkedIn, where I have a tremendous amount of proven success? I'm trying to speak for many different people. What is your thoughts on,
especially those over 30 something,
or 41, or those over 41 in 6 months for that matter?
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. A couple of questions there. The grass is going to be green where you water it. and where you keep showing up and value community. But you mentioned the, should we stick where our audiences are? Well, here's the thing. There's this misconception that audience is determined based upon platform. So for example, the boomers are on Facebook, the millennials are on Instagram, the Gen Zs are on TikTok. And that's actually not the case. There are every type of age demographic, every city represented on all the different platforms. And you actually get to create the audience that you want to attract. So for example, if you go on TikTok and you talk to TikTok like a child, you will attract children. Meanwhile, you know, on Instagram, for example, a lot of people don't know this, but my career accidentally started on YouTube about 10 years ago. I wanted to work in the world of television. Nobody would hire me. So I began to create videos on this tiny little platform that no one understood. YouTube was not a verb. Everyone and their mom did not have a blog. Influencer was not a job title. And I just wanted to learn how to use a video camera and lighting and audio and all of that. And then I quickly learned that there was actually gold here. There were these extraordinarily average teenagers who had hundreds of thousands, if not millions of subscribers, and no one was talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I studied the platform and started to bring brands and networks on this platform. And I used it as my vessel to set myself apart. I didn't know it, but what I was doing there right was I had an objective from the very beginning. And the objective was beyond just that platform. We get way too caught into thinking that it's all about growing as quickly as possible, going viral, getting as many views. But guess what, honey? I know a lot of people in real estate who can make a viral video cannot sell a house. So how are we actually getting conversions to happen? And conversion could mean that you want to sell more properties. Conversion might mean that you want to elevate yourself as a coach or a speaker and be taken seriously as a thought leader. But regardless of what platform you choose, what is your objective? Now, here's where the creating your audience thing comes in. When I was on YouTube, I was making makeup tutorials. My audience was between the ages of 13 and 17 and about 90% female. If you go to
lead into your gig with Clarisil, is my understanding?
So I did CoverGirl, I did Proactive, and then from there I was on the Today Show and I worked for every entertainment network, eventually went into advertising, and then now I have my own awesome business and team under this coaching umbrella. But the point is that I've served every kind of audience, because now if you look at my content, I actually have 60% male and all above the age of 25, primarily 25 and above. When it comes to TikTok, actually what we're seeing, and if you're stuck on that mindset of that platform is determined with audience, well, now more than half of TikTok is over the age of 20 and more than a third is over the age of 30. The beautiful thing about TikTok, whether you're on TikTok specifically or you're seeing the ways in which every other platform is having an identity crisis because of TikTok, here's what you need to pull from it, whether you decide to join the platform.
Can you explain that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Awesome. So here's what you need to take from it. When you log into TikTok, you have two different feeds. One is your following feed, which runs just like any other platform. You're seeing the people who you follow. But the main feed, the default feed, is called the For You page. The For You page is quite literally customized for you. When you first get on a TikTok, it's going to be really confusing because they are intentionally giving you a whole smorgasbord of contrasting content because it's trying to understand your preferences. And what it knows is that your preferences aren't just based off of who you like and who you follow. It's what are you spending the most time watching? It understands that there are a lot of things, opinions, content that maybe you don't want to publicly acknowledge. And so it will start to recommend you content based upon that, as well as your location, as well as based off of similar videos that you've watched previously. So what does that mean for you, especially in real estate? What that means for you is that it is giving you content that you didn't know you needed based upon your viewing habits. It will get to know you better than your friends and your family once you spent enough time on the platform and it can see your preferences. It will know that you are gay before you've come out. It will know how you voted even if you told no one. It will know if you are vaccinated even if you told no one. What does that mean for you as a real estate professional? It will know that your client is looking for a house even if they've never met you before. It will recommend your content in your city, even if they haven't been to your city before, because they've consistently been watching content all around, say, Toronto or Edmonton or what have you. Normally, to get in front of people in that type of a targeted way, you have to pay to play. But with TikTok, you don't have to. the AI can recognize your face. It can recognize words that you're saying. It can see the captions that you're using. It can recognize hashtag. And now, just in the last few weeks, few months, we're starting to see short form video specifically from TikTok showing up in Google search. So for example, if I made a video about how to use hashtags on TikTok, guess what? All of a sudden, my short video might pop up as one of the first recommended videos that are coming up in Google search. So if you haven't looked at TikTok, I recommend that you look again. But you asked me about how is TikTok becoming a sledgehammer on every other platform? Well, if you look at Instagram and Facebook and how they're starting to use Reels, for example, so you're getting short form vertical videos that are 60 seconds or less, but also pay attention to your feed, because what you're going to start seeing on your main feed is accounts that you don't yet follow. Now, Instagram has not yet mastered this. In fact, there were documents leaked recently where Instagram just showed themselves internally that the experience is still not as satisfying as TikTok. And what we're also seeing is the latest research actually shows where a lot of people feel worse about themselves after using Instagram or the dumpster fire that is Facebook. People who spend a lot of time on TikTok actually feel better about themselves.
Interesting.
And TikTok watch time has now exceeded both Facebook and Instagram in terms of how much someone is spending on the platform, and where more than 90% of users are consuming Facebook and Instagram with the audio turned off, more than 70% of users on TikTok are fully engaged. You can't rewind. Your volume is turned all the way up. And so in that sense, you can't just scroll around or skip to the end. You have to watch the whole video to get to that good part. But it's not about your video going viral. It's about getting your content in front of the right people and doing what you want them to do. Most of my content does not go viral, but I can honestly tell you that my career has catapulted 10, 20, 50x because of my expertise on TikTok and the way that I've been able to develop myself as a communicator and a storyteller from this platform.
Two questions. Yeah. Wait, me first. Too bad to me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Laura's like, dibs, me.
Nope. You know. Okay. So basically two things. One, give me anyone, a benchmark. So how, like, let's say we wanted to jam our sales funnel and completely jump into this and say, you know what, I'm going to go turbo on video. What's a reasonable benchmark? Can you post too much? Is that such a thing?
There's not such a thing as posting too much, especially on TikTok. But here's the thing. I am not of the mindset of post as much as possible everywhere all the time, because what will inevitably happen if you were someone who, you know, you mentioned if you want to go all in, if you weren't making any videos before and now all of a sudden you're making videos every single day or twice a day or three times a day, you're going to burn out. It's like if you were training for a marathon and decided, I'm going to try to run 20 miles tomorrow. It's
just not going to happen. What's a good benchmark?
A good benchmark is, where are you at right now? Okay, let's double that. Or let's boost that by 10%. Okay, you're making a video a month. Let's go to a video a week. Okay, you're making two videos a week. Let's go three. Or let's explore a different platform. Just give me 10% more. Just 10% more than what you're doing right now, or 25% more than what you're doing right now. And again, it's not about, you know, it's not even necessarily a quality over quantity thing, because I don't want you to mind fuck yourself into thinking that the video needs to be perfect. But again, just take a pause and go again, those three questions that I brought up earlier. And if you didn't write them down now. What is this video saying about me? What is this video saying about my audience? How is it bringing value? Value can come in the form of a lesson or a laugh, but how is it bringing value? And most importantly, towards the objective that I want to achieve. There are some people who come to me in real estate and they say, Giselle, I want to triple my sales volume. And then there are some who say, Giselle, I never want to sell another fucking house in my life. Get me out of production. Those are very different objectives. And so it's possible that your objective is, Giselle, I want to make revenue from being a creator and I want to get more views and I want to go more viral. Okay, great. That's very different from somebody who wants to increase the dollars in their bank account. And so when it comes to benchmarks as well, I also want you to establish benchmarks that have nothing to do with views and nothing to do with followers. Maybe it is the way that someone mentions your content. Maybe it is the dollars that are in your bank account. Maybe it is the amount of appointments that you took or the amount of link clicks that you got on the link in your bio. I do think, though, to some extent, if you're joining TikTok for the very first time, my benchmark for you would be fill up that grid. Get that whole grid filled with videos, because it's all about community on TikTok. And people don't want you to just go, all right, let me just try this out and see if I go viral. They want to know that you're going to keep coming back. That's the difference between a view and somebody who actually wants to follow you. And so fill up your grid with those 12 videos, 15 videos. It doesn't have to be all in one day, but just to have as a benchmark, and get yourself past the 1,000 follower mark. The 1,000 followers is the hardest to crack, but once you do, the platform starts to make more sense. And that's also when you can start putting a link in your bio, whereas you can't get a link in your bio until you hit that point.
That is clutch. Okay, second question, super quick. If you were going to give 3 tips on crude video production, what would they be? For instance, you know, should they be captioned or, you know, whatever?
Yeah, best practices. Absolutely. You want to use text in your video as an attention grabbing hook, meaning the thing that gets someone to want to stay and watch and or turn their audio on. And absolutely having captions, especially knowing that the majority of people are not listening with the sound turned on, but also to be inclusive of those who might be hard of hearing, deaf, or putting down their kids. And so with that, you know, absolutely text is so very important. I need you to show your face. Great if you can give me a beautiful house tour, but that's just oddly satisfying content. That's not going to get me to see the expert of what you do and hear your voice and see your smile. And that's the other thing too, 7-second rule. If I'm just looking at your profile, can I tell very clearly who you are, who you serve, what you do, and how I can get a hold of you? If I can't, then we need to give your profile a makeover. Then also a little asterisk, pretty please, your profile picture has to be your face, and I want you to smile. I'm glad that you had a GQ photo shoot where you looked tough. I'm glad that you have a beautiful logo, but I need to see your face. When you're sliding into my DMs, if I see nothing but a logo, or if I see somebody who looks angry leaving a comment, I'm going to be less likely to respond because you don't look like a kind or a real human being. And that's how you're going to accidentally end up in spam versus immediately get responded to by me or one of my team members.
Amazing. So I do want to hit a couple of things in there from two different realms. I want to finish the conversation surrounding TikTok because I had an actual question that it might sound naive to some, but I honestly don't know. Is TikTok, am I able to use the same clips and videos that I create for platforms and import them into TikTok, or is there more to it?
You absolutely can, but from any platform, the way that I like to think about it is you have different groups of friends. Okay, you have family friends, you have party friends, you have friends from college or university, and you show up as yourself to each group of friends, but each group of friends has a different language, has a different level of humor. There are some who you can tell dirty jokes to, and then there are some who you have inside jokes with. It would be very strange if all of a sudden you showed up to dinner with Laura and I, and you immediately shared an inside joke without any context from, say, you and your buddies from high school. And so think about different platforms in that way. There are certain jokes, and by jokes, I mean content, that it's going to fly everywhere. But there are certain pieces of content that just might not make sense. You might think that 60 seconds is a very short period of time, and that's, you know, for Reels or for TikTok or for YouTube Shorts. However, 60 seconds feels short on, say, a LinkedIn or a Facebook. 60 seconds actually feels really long on the platforms where all you're seeing is video. And so are there ways where maybe you can trim the fat a little bit? Because on TikTok, for example, on any platform, really, you want to capture attention and build trust, not in 2-3 30 seconds, first frame. If you don't build trust in that first frame, it's game over. And so you simply want to think about the consumer habits on each platform and ask yourself, would this piece of content make sense? Not is it compatible? As long as it's vertical, it's compatible. But would it actually make sense?
Gotcha.
Otherwise, you know, it's going to flop.
So to share my experience and the intention of my content with my entire audience and with you, Giselle, I started creating content. And together with Laura, we created this platform to do three major things. One was to tell the industry, because we feel confident in our ability to lead a pack. Laura is the chief operating officer of one of the biggest financial outfits in the country. I am the team lead and co-founder of the REC group of companies. And we've been leading a lot of people for a long time. Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted to create notoriety surrounding our personas, our professional agenda, and assist the industry get elevated, become better. And through putting the content that we do to LinkedIn, which is our brothers and sisters, to IG, which is kind of everyone, and Facebook, which is, again, I think that's the maybe the one platform that is really lost at this point. It doesn't know what's up and down, who's there, who's supposed to, do I even check it anymore? It is a lost, but many people, millions and billions of people still use it. So, but we have had success in establishing the agenda, which was to lead, empower, but also create more of a thought leadership persona to us. And I'm saying this because I'm not ashamed of it. This was what I intended to do. I want to be seen as a leader. I want people to call me and say, can I join your team? Can I collaborate with you? Do you know Laura Martin? Do you know Giselle Ugarte, the life of the party? So I do feel I'm a source of connection. Mm-hmm. So I have succeeded. Now, I'm going to come back to you with a question. So you are saying it is worthwhile to build a new funnel, a new vertical inside something that TikTok, which is Uber, it's astronomically more popular than anything else right now. And I literally don't even know how it works. Is that embarrassing? Should I be embarrassed to not give it the time of day?
No, you shouldn't. And that's where a lot of people have that misconception where they think, oh, you know, YouTube is oversaturated or everybody has a podcast or it's too late to join TikTok. No, if you want to start on something new and if you have the time, the capacity and the desire to do it, great. There are plenty of people who join new platforms and start new programs all the time. And if you care about something, have passion about something, and if it's shareable, then absolutely do it. And what you might actually find is, for me, TikTok is my favorite place to consume content. I would rather spend 30 minutes on TikTok than binge watching a whole series on Netflix. I feel like I learned something. It is guaranteed smiles. I truly feel like it is something that connects me and grounds me. And I just enjoy it for fun, even content creation and business building aside. So even just for the sheer purpose of understanding it, keeping in mind that I deleted it 3 times before the light bulb went off. So for those of you who are like, I just don't get it. I've tried. Yeah, I get it too. I've been there too. So just for the sheer fact of understanding, but also you have this vision that's bigger than yourself. So if you want to have more influence, if you want to create more awareness, if you want to be able to have an impact on people who didn't know they needed you, then TikTok is absolutely a place where you need to be, especially if you are a storyteller, a speaker, a coach, a mentor, a thought leader in your space, and you're hitting a ceiling everywhere else, then absolutely, why wouldn't you want to take on a new challenge that I guarantee you, if you know how to understand and operate TikTok, you will have no problem in any other room on any other stage. I am a better speaker, storyteller, relationship builder, dot connector because of that platform. It is fully changed the way that we run business and even the way that I am as a coach.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to dig into you more, especially if you position yourself as a leader in the space. I do respect, I'm an extremely coachable person and I respect people who understand their value. So I will be consulting with you well past this recording. Laura, is there something you want to bring from Giselle that we haven't touched on? I have a hard stop in just a few minutes. Is there something that you have that's, that you feel Giselle can bring to us?
Just I think that's really it, right? Like, I feel like we covered everything. My head's exploding. You were
me,
right.
Me too. Me too.
He's like,
I have combinatorial explosion. I'm not even sure. I need to consolidate.
So Miss Giselle, with that being said, I do want to bring our cast to a stop. I want to thank you. And for the last time, please tell our brothers and sisters where is the best place to reach you, and just your value prop from a professional level.
Absolutely. You know, and here's the thing. I do have a TikTok course. And so if you think that our family would appreciate it, then I'm happy to offer $100 off with the promo code playbook. You can get my TikTok course, GiselleUGuardi.com/TikTok. So you can get that for $99, less than $100 to get all of the ins and outs on demand to you. And then the other thing that I offer is 4 times a year, I have the Real Estate Content Accelerator. I group coach people from all over the world to truly understand how they can put themselves into their content and get the fuck on video. So if you are interested in that, slide into my DMs, and I would absolutely love to have you. We have so many people from not just the US, but all over the world in different time zones.
You are generous. You are generous. You are beautiful. You are talented, and you are a leader. And I want to thank you personally for being here. Laura, take the mic and put us away.
Well, I think everyone here has gotten tremendous value from you today, Giselle. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are an absolute champ. And I really look forward. Oh, wait, there was one thing. Action Forward.
Yes.
You are the CEO of Action Forward, and you've really just built this business on your own back through grit, hard work, consistency, and persistency. Tell me why Action Forward. Why the name?
Yeah. So when I was going through high performance coach training, so that's more my executive coaching, not my on-camera coaching, the question that came up was, what is the next action forward thing that you can do? And the key word there is forward, because there are a lot of us who disguise busyness as productivity. But when you look down, you've been running on this hamster wheel. You get to the end of the day and you feel like you've done nothing. And so with me, it's not about, again, posting all day, every single day, being everywhere all the time. It's how is this intentionally getting me to where I want to go while still liking myself at the end of the day and having the mental capacity to be able to do even more. And so that's where my ADHD mind helps people to focus and be more actually productive in their business, but also looking at themselves as a whole human being. And so that's how Action Forward was born, as a business title. And now we are an entity that does coaching, consulting, digital products, and now live events. Now that events are back, thank God.
Thank God.
Yay.
Thank God.
All right. Well, Giselle, you've given us so much to work with here, and I can certainly see how really honing your craft online will absolutely translate in person at conferences or leading meetings and so on. So thank you very much for coming on today. And we will drop all your links for all the people.
Yes.
Use that amazing promo code playbook to get your discounted TikTok coaching video and tutorial. So thank you so much, Giselle, for being with us today. And you'll be hearing from both Simeon and myself, most certainly.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Giselle. Appreciate
Bye.
It.